Hello and welcome. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Let's dive in deep and let's get started on how to maximize your influence without power, position, or authority. Sometimes when you try to influence or persuade, you're going to feel like you don't have the authority, you're not the boss, you don't have any buy-in, nobody cares, you have no weight. And that's not true. In any persuasive or influence situation, you have more power, more pull, more influence than you realize. So I want to go over a quick system that I call the Influence Mastery System to really help you get results without authority, to help you understand what you can do in every situation, to give you a system that you can follow that will help you become more influential in any situation, whether you're the boss or not, whether you have a lot of say or not. This system works. The first thing I want you to do when you go into position, when you don't have a lot of leverage, when you don't have the authority, is you need to think about the pre-assessment, your pre-persuasion checklist. You want to talk about the number one reasons people fail in influence or negotiation is they just wing it. They don't think it through. They don't visualize it. They don't role play it. They don't think to themselves, what if they say this? What if they do this? They don't put themselves in their shoes. I mean, the reality is with persuasion and influence and negotiation, you're going to pay the price up front in your preparation, or you're going to pay it on the back end with money that you've lost because you didn't have the right tools or right information. You didn't do enough research to really understand where they're coming from, why they're there, why they want to be influenced, why they want to negotiate. You really need to have kind of what we call a pre-assessment to think it through. What if this happens? Why do they want this? Why are they there? What are they going to think? What's going to happen? Very, very important. And that's the step that, well, I don't have time to do that, or I'm just going to go see what happens. That can really hurt you. It's the person that's prepared, that has the information, that has the numbers, that can see both sides of the issue, that's very successful in a situation where they don't have authority or they're not the boss, where they can be very successful and to influence without authority. So once you have that a foundation, that you've done the assessment, you've done your research, you've done your homework, then you need to think about your sources of power. Now, power is an interesting thing. People get a little nervous when we talk about power. And I ask people, is power good or bad? I get different answers, and I just say, well, is gravity good or bad? You know, gravity is good if you're walking. It's bad if you're falling from a tree. It's neutral. But what power does in an influence or a negotiation situation is it gives you leverage, and it makes people easier to persuade. There are a lot of different forms of power. There's good power, there's bad power. And if you look at a police officer, their gun, their uniform increases their ability to influence and persuade. You look at a lawyer's knowledge, that increases their ability to persuade. So what type of things do you have that give you power? And you do have power in any situation. The first one, it might be knowledge. As you know, knowledge is a form of power. Do you have information that they want or need or desire? That information. That's something to take a look at. What information do you have that gives you power? You might have authority. Sometimes it might be your title. It might be how you're dressed that gives you authority. External characteristics, if they come to your office, the way your office is set up, that can give you power. Now, of course, there's coercive power that people use. I don't recommend it. You need to be aware that people do have coercive power as far as being really bold, or wait until the very last second, time is a form of power. There are a lot of different negative forms of coercive power. I don't want to talk about those, but they're there. Then you have reward power. What can you reward? What do you have that they want? Now be very careful. If you give somebody for something, the next time you need to influence them or persuade them, they'll expect it. For example, we'll take a school situation. The children in elementary school aren't reading. Okay, what can we do? Well, if they read X amount of books, they'll get pizza. And so they do. Reading goes up, and they get pizza. But then once you reward somebody for doing something, the next time you want it, you'll have to reward them probably even more. They did another study with college students. They brought them into a room and did a study, and they said, here, go play with these puzzles. And the students loved playing with these puzzles. But they found out once they paid them to play with these puzzles, they wouldn't do it unless they were paid again. So it's a form of power. What do you have that they want? but then there's long-term diminishing returns. Probably the biggest form of power that you have in any type of influence situation is what I call legitimate power. Now, is that your knowledge? Is that their respect for you? Is it your relationship, the friendship, your reputation? That's a big form of power. If you've been friends for a long time, that's part of that power. So any situation, what type of power do you have? And this power, again, increases your ability to persuade and influence. So you have your pre-assessment. You're thinking through the power that you have. This is before you even try to influence. Then the next one, obviously, is you're going to attempt to influence. This is where it all comes. You're going to influence. You've thought it through. What laws of persuasion you're going to use. And to be adaptable here. Remember the major mistakes with all influences. You tend to persuade others how you like to be persuaded. And you need to adapt to their style, number one. And number two, the moment they sense that you're going to try to influence them to do something, they're going to, even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they are going to resist you. So your goal, number one, is to persuade them how they want to be persuaded. Number two is help them persuade themselves. That is your goal when you attempt to influence them. Will you get the yes? Will you get the no? Now, here's your moment of truth. If you're tempted to influence them and they say yes, they accept the change and you move on. Now, be very careful. The studies show, and as I interview people, you tend to talk three times too much. In this influence phase, you don't want to vomit the 37 reasons why they should do it. You need to listen and ask more questions. Remember, you want to get them to do what you want them to do and like doing it. Ask questions. Think about, okay, what's in it for them? Why are they going to do that? And they accept the change. Now, that's the easy road to persuasion and change. Now, if they say no, you have to think it through during the presentation and realize that when you get a little opposition, there's probably four reasons. Now, opposition's not necessarily bad. They're thinking it through. What do you need to change? They have questions. Now, be very careful here. If they have a question or an objection or there's any type of opposition, you be open. Thanks for asking that question. Thank you for bringing that up. Because if you look a little resistant or you don't want to answer it or you felt it was a dumb question, that closes the door to persuasion. So there's kind of four things here. The first one and the biggest one is you didn't give them a reason to do it. They didn't see why they should. How's it going to help them? Now the big thing here when you look at reason, where people tend to blow it, is if they've called you or if they've requested more information or they want to meet with you, they already have a reason and your job as a persuader is to find that reason. Now, if you've approached them, if you called the meeting, if you called them, then you need to create a reason. So there is no reason for them to do it. They didn't buy into it. They didn't care. Why waste our time? There was no reason. That's the first one. That's the biggest one. You need to create a compelling reason why they should do it. The old what's in it for them. The second one might be maybe they didn't have the ability. It sounded good, but maybe they didn't have the physical ability. For most people, they didn't have the time, or they didn't have the money, or they didn't have the man or woman power to pull it off. There was no way to do it. It sounded great. There was a great reason, but it was just too much work. We can't pull it off. Come back in 6 months, they didn't have the ability to do that. The third one is connectivity. One of the 12 laws of persuasion, as you know, is a law of connectivity. And then when people like you, it's much easier to persuade them. And we have to say it, maybe they didn't like you. Because you've noticed with your relationships, when you like people, you're a lot more forgiving, you're a lot more open with their mistakes. You don't care as much, but if you don't like them and they make a mistake or they do something wrong, you're a lot more critical and harsh. Whether you admit it or not, this is reality. It's true. Maybe they didn't like you, or you don't have the relationship, or maybe they don't know you. That could be a possibility. And then the fourth one is they weren't motivated. You know, it was too much work. Why rock the boat? There's no benefits. I don't know. Maybe later. There was no motivation there. So let me kind of review those four so you can understand exactly how they fit in and what you can do. So if there was no reason, you need to back up and think through what's in it for them. How can this help them? How can you create a compelling reason? Now, in business, it's usually save money or make money. That's true for entrepreneurs and you're talking to. What is the reason they need to listen to you, to talk to you, do business with you? The ability, the time, the resources, the money, that type of thing, you have to spell it out for them that it's only going to take 10 minutes a day. It's only going to take 1 hour a week. It's only going to take an extra $3 a day, and break it down to what they call reduce it to the ridiculous. The connectivity, they didn't like you. You don't have the relationship. You have two options here. If you really sense that you haven't connected, that you've blown it, you have to be a professional and call in somebody else. Get somebody else that can influence them. Start fresh with the new person, especially in a negotiation. Or maybe you need to take them a lunch and spend some time to develop that relationship so you can connect. And if they don't have the motivation, you got to spell it out for them. There's two types of motivation in the world. There's inspiration and there's desperation. So let me ask, what is the better motivator to use, you think, when you're talking to someone, inspiration or desperation? If they're stuck in desperation, we've learned that you crank up the desperation, you buffer with inspiration, but if they're in inspiration, you stay in inspiration. So if they're not motivated, for most people, it is going to be desperation, but every once in a while, you'll stay in inspiration. But you have to think that through before you go. Is it inspiration or is it desperation? So when you face that opposition, think it through. What's happening? Why are they resisting you? And then you can figure out the rest. So if that's the case, and they weren't influenced, they weren't persuaded, go back to the drawing board and go through that process again. You go through your pre-assessment phase. What sources of power do you have? You attempt to influence. If they accept the change, great. If not, you take a look at the reason, the ability, the connectivity, and the motivation. The biggest mistake persuaders make in this type of situation, when they're trying to persuade without that position or influence without authority, is creating the reason. They get out there and they do the data dump and they vomit on people and they see all the reasons why they should do it for them, but they really don't get themselves in their shoes. You have to think through the reason and why they should be doing what you're asking them to do, and that will help them out in every aspect of what you're asking them to do. Do the research. Why should they care? How is this going to help them? Is this going to save them money? Is it going to make them money? What is that compelling reason? You have to think about that. Your reason in a lot of ways is like a headline. You only have a couple seconds to grab their attention. And as you study headlines and marketing, that also helps you with the reason too. So if you're dealing with an analytical person, you're going to want to know it's going to save them 36%. It's going to make them an extra $112 a day. That's important. If you're dealing with an amiable person, you might want to talk about the problem that it's going to solve. Remember, as persuaders, you're problem solvers. You're there to solve the problem. That's your goal. And if you can think that through and really help you out, it'll make a big difference. The biggest message I want to give today is that pre-assessment is huge. In every situation, you have some form of power. Whether you think you do or not, spend some time to think about it and then just keep going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out the best way to kind of influence without authority. In fact, one thing I want you to work on, as we talked about the reason, is every situation you go through, I want you to think through is, what is their reason? Put yourself in their shoes. Why do they care? Why are they here? Why are they listening to me? And those are the two big questions is, why should they care? If I were them, would I listen to me? What can I say in the first 30 seconds that's going to grab their attention? And you heard the proverbial before, what's in it for them? The WIIFM, that is so true. We're so concerned about what we need to say, and we get stuck in that data dump that we don't just stop to listen. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as, well, what does the perfect solution look like to you? If a genie appeared and made everything look perfect, what would that look like to you? Remember, top persuaders listen 3 times more than the average persuader. And that will make you a consultant instead of a salesperson. And they'll start talking. They'll start listening. You're taking notes. Tell me, why would that work? What's worked in the past? What is the main reason you, and you kind of fill in the blank there, and become the consultant? Put yourself in their shoes, think it through, and understand they're naturally skeptical, that if they do reject you, they're not necessarily rejecting you, they might reject your product or your service, you move on and you'll learn from it, but create the reason. What is the main reason they should do business with you? And it should be very, very simple for them to understand. So think that through during every influence situation, and it'll make a big difference in what you're able to accomplish and what you're able to do in the world of persuasion and influence.